Please open your Bibles to the book of John, the 16th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1138, beginning with the 23rd verse, we'll read responsively through verse 29. John chapter 16, verses 23 through 29, page 1138. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world, and go to the Father. And together on verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Let's pray. And Father, you're good to give us this day and this place and this time. And truly, nowhere in all the world is there a more important thing taking place than the preaching of thy word by the man of God. And the people of God are assembled to gain strength, direction, help. May your power be present. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Holy Father, we come today to talk a little bit about your nature, something about your attitude toward us and what you want for us and have for us. Thank you in the first place that you're conscious of us. We can say with the psalmist, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Speak to our hearts now. Give us the attentiveness of all the people, and I'll pay attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, It is not everything we want, or the one thing he wants. It is not everything we want, or the one thing he wants. Did you ever get frustrated about this matter of prayer? You read in the Bible, whatsoever you'll ask, you can have. And so what do? Well, you ask for a new Rolls Royce and a new $500,000 house, and you don't get it, and you're all upset because God said you can ask anything you want to ask for. And no, it's not that. God is not saying that you can have anything you want or everything you want. On the other hand, there are those who say that God leads us what to pray for, and he leads us to pray for the very thing he wants us to have. Or, according to Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, which means that if you'll delight in the Lord, he'll tell you exactly what you need, and you'll pray for one single thing, and that one single thing is what God wants you to have. Now, which one is right? Can you pray for anything that you want to pray for and get it? Or do you pray for the one thing that God wants you to have and get it? Now, the truth is, neither is exactly right. I'm going to help you this morning, if you listen to me, about this matter of getting things from God. My title again, It is not everything we want, or the one thing he wants. These are two extremes. Neither is exactly accurate. I'm going to make 11 statements this morning and take about 15 minutes for each one. You're not listening very well, but I'm going to make 11 statements this morning, and I'll get most of them behind me in a hurry, so you'll think that I'm getting almost through, and you ladies will put your shoes on, but you'll find it's not time to go yet. But I want to make 11 statements this morning, and this is line upon line and precept upon precept, so I want you to listen to me very carefully. Statement number one, God wants you to have what you want. Listen to me. God wants you to have what you want. See, God loves you. And God wants you to have what you want. God doesn't want you to be a robot. Nobody wants that. I've said so often, if you guys could give your wife a pill or a shot, and that shot or pill would make her love you, and it would make her say, "I love you, Joe. I love you, Joe. I love you, Joe." Every time I go to the Atlanta airport, anybody been to the Atlanta airport? They got a computer that talks to you. Stand back in the car. Do not move. We are now leaving. And I want to shoot it. But God does not want you to be that way. God does not want you to say, "I love you, God. I love you. This is what I want." And God computerizes you what you want. No, God wants you to have what you want. Statement number two. He does not want you to have what you shouldn't have. Hear what I said? Now, somehow, God has to reconcile the fact of letting you have what you want. Don't leave me now. The fact of you having what you want and also not having what you should not have. Let me say again, God loves you. Last night, we were having an ordination service, and a fellow said that somebody introduced him to one of my tapes, to me, hadn't heard me personally, but he got my tapes, 15 sermons on the love of God, 15 Sunday morning sermons on the love of God. And he said for the first time in his life, he realized that God loves him. My soul, I wish I could make you realize that God loves you. God loves you. God's not up in heaven trying to keep you from... God's not trying to think of other things wrong that are fun to do, so you can't do them. God's not trying to think of some more tough rules so you won't enjoy life. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. I said God loves you. And God wants what's best for you. And God wants you to have what you want. Let me say it again. God wants you to have what you want. But I said number two, He does not want you to have what you shouldn't have. Now, how can God let you have what you want and at the same time keep you from having what you should not have? All right, that gives us number three. Not only does God want you to have what you want, and God does not want you to have what you shouldn't have or what will hurt you, but number three, He makes a safeguard to allow both. Now listen carefully. God has made a safeguard. You can have what you want, and also anything that you get will not hurt you. God has made a safeguard, and that safeguard leads to number four. He builds boundaries. God has built a boundary, and let me say again, God wants you to have what you want. Anybody does that. Good night. You say, look at your little child. "Mommy, I want an ice cream cone." "Honey, you've had 64 already today. But, Mommy, I want an ice cream cone." None of us like to say no. We all spoil our kids rotten. One of our rotten kids was singing over here on this end a while ago. And of course, we like to spoil them rotten. I'll take the girl sometimes shopping and to buy them a dress. And oh, my soul, I'll end up buying each one of them two or three dresses. And that's why they're no count. That's why I'm so wonderful. My mother didn't spoil me. She just gave me everything I wanted. That's all. But we're all that way. And look, did you know that the reason God calls Himself our Father and the reason God calls us His children is because God feels toward us like we feel toward our children. We like to give our children what they want, but we don't want to give our children what they shouldn't have. So God made a safeguard to allow both. So you can have what you want, and you shouldn't have what you can't get what you shouldn't have. So He builds boundaries. Now follow me carefully. God has built boundaries and said, listen, sailors, listen to me now. Hey, sailors, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. God has built boundaries, and God has made it possible that we may have nothing outside those boundaries. God has built a boundary here, and God has said anything outside those boundaries you cannot have. You can ask for it if you want to, but you won't have it. But anything inside those boundaries you can have, and so we may have nothing outside them. That's number five. Statement number six, we may have anything inside them. Let me illustrate. A mother takes a daughter to buy a dress. Now, the wise mother won't smother the daughter, though I'm sure you'd like to have many times. But the wise mother will not say, you've got to buy that dress. No, you don't pick out the dress. Now, the wise father has a perfect right to pick out the dress for the daughter, right? But Cindy and I don't agree on what she looks good in. So I always have to buy two dresses for her, one she likes and one I like, which she never wears. But a mother takes a daughter shopping, and she says to her daughter, now, daughter, this is the kind of dress. You cannot have a miniskirt. That's for sure. You cannot have one of these dresses that is too gaudy or too tight. And one has, you can't buy a dress that's for after five only. You got to buy now. But any kind of a dress within this boundary you may have. So the girl picks out the dress she wants, and the mother simply says, anything outside the boundary you cannot have. And that's what God does. When God says, ask for anything you want to ask for, God means that. He wants you to choose what you want. God doesn't want to hand it down to you and say, this is what you must want, and you say, dear God, this is what I want. God doesn't want to program you like that. God wants you to have what you want. But what a wonderful God we have. And our God will not let you have what will hurt you. So he builds a boundary and says, anything outside the circumference of this circle is out off limits. You can't have it. But anything inside the circumference, you can have. For example, you take a mother takes a child to a cafeteria. And the mother says, now you must have some vegetables. I want a banana split. Well, you can't have banana split. You've got to have some vegetables. But I want some candy. I'm sorry, you can't have any candy. You've got to have some vegetables. Now, the mother does not tell the child necessarily what vegetables the child has to have. The mother wants the child to decide. The wise mother does, wants the child to decide. You can have fried okra, you can have boiled okra, or you can have turnip greens, or you can have collard greens, or you can have black-eyed peas, or anything. But you can't have such things as carrots. Any vegetables. Now, you can have carrots if you want it. You can have rutabagas if you want it. You can have cauliflower if you want it. You can have broccoli if you want it. But you got to have some vegetables. And so you must have it. So any vegetable, you choose a vegetable, but you got to have some vegetables. And God's that way. God knows the type thing we need and the type thing we do not need. So God comes down and says to us, I won't ask what you will. But dear God, I asked for the Cadillac and didn't get it. Well, I got a 1938 Cadillac. That's not what I had in mind. I asked for the Rolls Royce and didn't get it. I asked for that $500 dress and didn't get it. God said, okay, that's what it means. Our text said, in my name. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Within what my name allows you to have. This is the area. You ask for anything in this area that you want to ask for. But don't we have a wonderful God? He does not want us to be hurt. He does not want us to have what we should not have. Okay, another illustration. The wise parent does not choose the daughter's boyfriend. Did you hear that, mothers? Listen carefully, mothers. The wise parent does not choose the daughter's boyfriend. The wise father does not choose the daughter's boyfriend. And the wise mother or father does not choose the son's girlfriend. That's unwise. But a parent has a right to say, it must be this kind of a boy. You cannot choose anybody that drinks. You cannot choose anybody that goes to a liberal church. Last night, a fine young lady came to my office. And she's dating, she's a college student, and back home she's dating a boy that goes to a liberal church. And it's causing friction, of course. Her mother and father wanted to date a boy that goes to a fundamental church, and a boy's born again. So it's causing friction. And I called her in, and I told her, and I said, now for Jesus' sake, and your mother's sake, and your sake, and your father's sake, and your preacher's sake, I said, would you give him up? And I put my hand out. I said, if you'll give up that boy, would you take my hand? And with tears rolling down her cheeks, she took my hand and gave up the boy. And that's what I'm talking about today. That's the way you give up. But God, I want to marry an unsaved boy. God said, no, that's outside the boundary. But God, I want to marry a boy that goes to a liberal church. No, God said, that's outside the boundary. Oh, but he says he'll come to my church after we get married. You let him come for a year, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, before you get married, and that'll prove something. But I'm simply saying, God looks down this morning and God says, I want you to have what you want, but I don't want you to have things that'll hurt you, so I'm going to build a boundary. Illustration. Take the matter of a college. I would not tell our young people what college to attend. I would build a boundary and say you cannot go to any college outside the boundary. Now, here's the boundary. It must be a Baptist college. It must be a fundamental Baptist college. It must be in the Midwest. It must have a lake on the campus. It must have an island in the middle of that lake. It must be in Lake County, Indiana. And it must be on Burr Street. I'm not trying to tell you where to go to college. I'm just drawing a boundary and saying any college that fits this description, you feel free to go to. I mean, I'm not trying to make you do what I want you to do. Now, God simply says, I want to give you things. Oh, listen to me. I'm 63 years of age, and our kids are grown. I got a granddaughter that's married, curse her, and she could have a baby in a few weeks, a month, a year or so, and I could be married to a great-grandmother. The thought of it horrifies me, a young fellow like me. But you know what? You know, there's nothing pleases me any more than to please the children. And nothing tears me up any more than for something bad to happen to the children. The more I grow in grace, and I hope the more I get like the Heavenly Father, the more I feel that way. And God looks down today, and God says, I love you. I love you so much. I want to see you happy. Every once in a while somebody comes to church, well, I came to First Baptist Church and it wasn't worshipful enough. What you mean is, wasn't funeral home enough. And what you call worship, you can get that most any funeral home in the area. And our cemetery, you can get that at our cemetery. No, I'm simply saying, wasn't worshipful enough. Said, you told something funny and all the people did was laugh. And the choir members in the bass section welcomed their fellows back. And that's not worshipful. I don't think God minds His children having fun. I wish you could see Becky and Linda and Cindy get together. I wish you could. It is a ball. There's more. You think I have satire? They are the founders of satire. Nothing is sacred. Nothing at all is sacred. And all they enjoy each other, and they have fun. And Linda came for a visit. Oh, it's been maybe a year or so ago. And she stayed with Cindy. She always stays with Cindy. She does come by and speak to us a time or two while she's here. But I stayed with Cindy, and I drove them to the airport. And I said, Linda began to cry. And I said, Puddin', why are you crying? And she said, 'Cause Cindy's my best friend. I've got to go home. And good night. All they did was slobber all the way to the airport and blubber. But I love that. I love to see my children love each other. I love to see my children have fun together. And God looks down this morning and He says, look at my sheep people at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. They're laughing and they're happy and they love each other. And that's the way I want it. And God says, I want you to be happy. And God said, I want to give you what you want. But He said, I can't let you have what's bad for you. Well, what can I do? Said God. And God said, this is what I'll do. I'll give you anything you ask for that's within the circle, but I'll give you nothing that you ask for outside the circle. You've got to ask in my name. I said, number one, God wants you to have what you want. I said, number two, God does not want you to have what's not good for you. I said, number three, He makes a safeguard to allow both. I said, number four, He builds boundaries. I said, number five, you may have anything, you may have nothing outside those boundaries. I said, number six, you may have anything inside those boundaries. Number seven, God simply wants veto power. That's all He's saying. God says, I simply do not want you to have what you shouldn't have, so give me veto power. Now listen to me. I think this man right here ought to have veto power over anybody in this church who's going to marry a young man. I mean that. You say, you think you are God? Yes, that's what I think. Maybe you'll feel better if I say that. No, I don't think I'm God. But I think I know more about young people than you 18-year-olds do. And I think I know more about young folks than you 15, 16-year-old high school students do. And I'm simply saying that you ought to allow somebody, a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a godly pastor, somebody ought to have veto power. And God said, let me have veto power. That's what He says. He said, I don't want you to have anything that'll hurt you. That's what John 15:7 means. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will. Now, He didn't say if you ask what you will. Good night. It's sort of like a child's Christmas list. No, it's not like that. Dear God, I want this. No. God is saying, if you abide in me, that's the boundary, and my words abide in you, another boundary, then you ask what you will. What he's saying is, inside the circumference of that circle, ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. That's what it means in Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What he's saying is, if you delight yourself in the Lord. Didn't say that if you watch the soap operas in the afternoon, God will give you the desires of your heart. Didn't say if you delight yourself in the primetime TV, God will give you the desires of your heart. Didn't say if you got your home video machine and bring your movies home, God will give you the desires of your heart. Didn't say if your main delight is the National Football League, God will give you the desires of your heart. It says, if you delight thyself also in the Lord. What's wrong with a Christian being happy in the Lord? What's wrong with a Christian enjoying God? One of our young men, several months ago, it's been 6 months ago, I saw him somewhere outside the church, another city. And I, his teenage boy, and he was sort of a fringe kid. He's a kid that, you know, if I passed him, he wouldn't say, good morning, Brother Howell. He'd say, and typical fringe kid. But I got to be with him probably 2 or 3 hours. And we had a good time with each other, and I cut up, and we talked about things about... He didn't know I knew all about football and so forth. I knew that the ball is oblong and made out of leather, and he didn't know I knew all that. And we talked and had fun. He came back home, and he said to his parents, he said, you know, he said, Brother Hiles is fun when you get to know him. And he is. To know me is to love me, folks. By the way, Brother God is fun when you get to know him, too. You'd be amazed. I hunger for you folks that you come to church, you give your tithe, and you come to Sunday school, and you come back on Sunday, but you don't know him. I mean, the reason, listen, you can delight yourself in the Lord. You can ha-ha in the Lord. Well, I tell him jokes. The right kind. He doesn't like the other kind. But I Brother Ray tells him those, but I tell him the right kind. But I tell him jokes. He always tells me he's already heard it. But I enjoy the Lord. You say, preacher, you mean you have fun? I'm talking about fun. And I'm talking about fun in this book. Delight yourself. Listen, anything you want you can have if you delight yourself in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Ah, this is good. That's what Romans 8:28 means. And we know all things work together for good. To whom? Those that love God, those that call according to his purpose, those that stay inside the boundary. Now, whatever God wants, whatever is good for you, and if you meet his conditions, you can have it. But you can't. God said, I'm not going to give you things that hurt you. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to. Listen, you can pray for God to give you that good-looking all-state football player that's not saved all you want to, but if you get him, God's not going to give him to you. God says, anything inside the circle, I'll let you have. But that's what God says. We know all things work together for good. To whom? To those that love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. What does it mean? You love God. You're in the will of God. God says everything works together for good. He doesn't say he changes what happens to you. He just makes what would have happened to you anyway work together for your good. That's all. God simply says, I'll change your wanter if you'll delight yourself in me. Somebody said, if I believe like that, I'd get saved and I'd go out and drink all I wanted to drink. That's exactly what I do. I've taken every drink this year that I wanted to take, I've taken. But I haven't wanted to take a drink. Why? Because I'm on a high with Jesus. You see? I mean, I don't need a drink. I don't need to be. I don't need dope. I don't need that. I don't need the extra lift of some liquor. I don't need that. I don't need it. Why? Because I have found what? I'm not talking about real joy. That's, you know, the way the liberals talk. God gives real peace. No, he gives you a lot of fun, too. Yeah, I mean ha-ha fun. I mean God is delightful, and God's exciting, and God's wonderful, and if you knew him, you'd love him. Oh, this old dead Christianity comes to church this morning and sings a sevenfold Amen and the Gloria Patria, Amen, 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 and the Lord is in his holy temple. Fooey, hogwash, poppycock, and everything else that's bad. That's silly. God wants us to delight in Him. God's not concerned about coming to Mass for 1 hour on Sunday morning and going out and living like you weren't saved all week long. God's concerned. He wants to enter into your business and help you run your business and enter into your school and your classroom and you pray and you work. He wants to be everything in your life. And I'll guarantee you, you get to know Him, you'll love Him. You'll love Him. I said, God wants you to have what you want. I said, He does not want you to have what you shouldn't have. So God made a safeguard to allow both. He builds boundaries. We may have nothing outside those boundaries. We may have anything inside those boundaries. He simply wants veto power. This is because He knows what is good. And what a wonderful safeguard. Omniscience is looking out for you. He knows what's not good for you. So God says, I know. You don't know what's good for you. No, you don't know. You don't know. And so omniscience says, which means God knows everything. He says, I know everything. I know what's good for you. I know what's bad. Listen, if I had planned my year, it would not have been like it's been. Probably you knew that. It would not have been like it's been if I had planned my year. But I got somebody who plans my time, plans my years, that knows what's good for me. So, let him plan. You sit in the house. Do you ever cry? Sure I cry. But I guarantee you, when I get through crying, I can laugh. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I mean, you come to a place in the year when your face is against the wall. You don't know what to do. And you look up and you feel the touch of a hand. And you look up and there's a scar in that hand. And you say, thank God, omniscience is running my life. He knows what I need. He knows what's best. Now, follow me carefully. Within the boundaries, there is a good, better, and best. Don't leave me now. I said, God says, you can have anything inside this boundary. You can't have anything outside that boundary. But inside the boundary, though everything is good, there is a good, better, and best. Illustration. You're going to choose a wife. Choose a wife. Now God says, you can't have this kind of a woman. You can't have a woman that doesn't go to church. You can't choose a wife that's not a clean woman. I don't mean by that she never has done anything wrong. I mean that she is clean now. When you come to God, He washes away your sins. I'm not talking about she ever did anything wrong in the past. I'm talking about somebody who's living a dedicated, consecrated, clean life right now. God said, you have to have a certain type of a woman. Now, God will allow you to choose any wife you want inside that circle, but God has a good, better, and best. There is one particular woman He would rather you have. So, how then do you find out the best inside the circle of the good? You understand what I'm saying? How do you find it out? God said you can't have anything outside the circle. I don't care how pretty she is. If she's not what God wants you to have, give her up. I don't care how handsome he is. If he's not what God wants you to have, give him up. God says you cannot have anybody outside the circle. But you may choose anybody inside the circle. But he said, I would prefer you to choose a particular one. Then how do you choose that particular one? Goes back to Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And what? He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let me explain that. God is not saying you delight in him, he'll give you what you want. God is saying you delight in him, and he will give you your desires. He will change your water. You delight yourself in the Lord, and you won't want what you did want. God will give you the desires. He's not saying he'll give you what you desire. He's saying he'll give you your desires. That's what he's saying. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. So that's the way when you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll say, okay, you'll know, because if you delight in him, he plants in your mind the way to choose. Our members of our staff will tell you, every time that I pray, nearly every time, and probably every time I pray at staff meeting, I say, Lord, finish it. Control our minds. Control our minds. I'll guarantee you, I pray that 1,000 times a week. Dear Lord, I've got decisions to make. And dear Lord, I know what you don't want.
and I know what is right, but I don't know which of the right is the best. So, dear God, control my mind and let me make the right decision. I'm simply saying, I believe there's just one woman in the world for one man. I believe there's just one man for one woman. A lot of you gals wish, you're hoping that's true, aren't you? But I don't think that, I think that God has any number of men He'll allow you to marry and won't be, hold it, one at a time, please. I don't mean, but I don't mean marry them all at the same time. But I think God will has any number of women that He would allow you to choose to marry, but I think God has one woman that is His first choice for you and that He wants you to marry. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you fall in love with Jesus? Why don't you fall in love with God? Why don't you just learn to delight in Him and love Him? Why don't you make it so coming to church is not like taking a pill? Why don't you make it not like taking some castor oil? Why don't you get to where the reading the Bible is not a chore to you? Why don't you get to where reading the Bible... Listen, I can sit on the airplane with a sport page over here and a sporting news over here, and I love sports, and a Sports Illustrated right here, and my Bible right here, and I'll guarantee you this book jumps up at me, and this is what I read 9 times out of 10 instead of the sports magazines. He said, I don't understand that. Delight yourself in the Lord. Learn to enjoy Him. Well, he said, how do you enjoy Him? Get to know Him. How do you get to know Him? Talk to Him and read His book and walk with Him. And then you get to know Him and then you'll enjoy Him and delight in Him. I'll close with this, and I think I've told you this. In 1984, in July, was a crucial time in my life. I said before, I love sports, but I don't watch it anymore. I'm not saying that I never, in a motel room, if 5 minutes left in a game, I might turn it on. But I don't watch. I haven't watched a whole game. I don't know how long. I love sports. In 1984, I said to God, "You can have my ball games." In July of 84, I said, I promise you. Now, I'm not against ball games. I'm not against you watching a ball game. But I said, God, you can have my ball games. And I said, I'm going to take the time that I used to take watching ball games, and I'm going to spend that time with you. Now, I want to testify something. And God hears me, and I'll put my hand on this Bible while I say it. I would rather be in the woods alone with God, fellowshipping with Him. I'm talking about more fun, more ha-ha, more fun, more delight than to watch a ball game. I haven't watched a Super Bowl game. You know why? I'd rather be with God. He said, yeah, but you're different. You can be different too. Yeah. Well, Brother Hiles, now that's not natural. I'm talking about supernatural. I'm talking about learn to know Him and delight yourself in Him. Now, you folks that never have trusted Christ, you can't know what I'm talking about. You don't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about because you've never taken the first step. But this morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Him, the least you can do is accept His gift of life eternal. And then if you're here and you have trusted Him, in God's dear name, get to know Him. I hurt. I want to reach out there and grab every one of you and say, listen to me. There's something better than what you're doing. I'm not talking about the drunkards. I'm not talking about the harlots. I'm not talking about the liars. I'm not talking about the thieves. I'm not talking about the crooks. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night people. There's something better. And that something is a somebody. And He walks with me. And He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And God said, if you'll walk with me and delight in me and enjoy me, He said, then I will create in you the right kind of desires, and then your desire will be granted, and you can ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. What a way to live. What a Savior. What a God. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation. Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer?